More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, sorry, I'm closed. Feeling taken advantage of? Let us help you set boundaries that allow you to stay open to being generous, but stop being used. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, sorry, we're closed. Do you ever feel like just, like, you know, like turning the sign on, you know, on your life where you're just like, okay, everybody, I'm closed.
Just
like,
closed for just, a while.
Sorry. See you on Monday.
I think.
Oh, gosh, it's Monday.
See you next week or whatever. No, I will hazard a guess, just an observation from tooling around on social media this weekend, that a lot of moms went through that feeling yesterday, which was Mother's Day, if you're listening.
And we hope that you had a wonderful wonderful Mother's Day.
We do. But I saw so many mothers. I was joking about this with our daughter yesterday because we had taken your mom, all of us, going out as a family for brunch. Everywhere I looked, mothers were just like, I just want a day off from mothering. I don't even really want to be in this restaurant. I just want to be left alone. Really very much that sort of, sorry, we're closed. Mm-hmm. Just give me the day off, which I think is funny on a day we're celebrating moms. They're all like, I just want to not mom for a day.
Well, fair.
Because there is a lot of what we're talking about today built into that role sometimes. That sense of you give and give and give, and nobody's really checking in on you or giving back.
Now, of course, you know, because yesterday was Mother's Day, we, you know, have this little focus on it. But the reality is everybody can end up in this place where
everybody,
we just feel taken advantage of.
No matter what your roles are in life.
And, you know, as Christians, we want to be generous. We're called to be generous. It's good to be generous. Nobody's saying otherwise. But the fact is, it's possible to be generous in ways that aren't healthy or actually aren't holy. And that might be a record scratch moment for you, right? Because you think, well, of course, being generous is always holy. Well, maybe. Let's talk about that, actually. We're gonna explore that today on More to Life on our show titled Sorry, We're Closed. If you're feeling taken advantage of, we want to help you set the boundaries that allow you to stay open to being generous, but stop being used. 877-573-7825.
So tell us, are you tired of being the person everyone comes to when they need something, but nobody thinks about when you need something?
Mom.
Or many other people. Yeah. Do the people in your life expect you to always say yes and then act hurt or angry when you can't? Do you feel like someone is taking advantage of you in some way? Do you struggle with guilt when you feel like saying no, even when it is the right thing to do? Have you been led to believe that being a good Christian means always being available, always giving, always sacrificing? Let us help you discover how being as generous as God calls you to be without falling into resentment or promoting unhealthy behavior can work for you. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And as we said, this does not have to be just for moms. I know a lot of teachers right now who are feeling this and feeling very burned out. A lot of grandparents who are feeling this because they're doing like double and triple duty that they didn't expect to do. A lot of employees who are feeling this way because they're working and working and working, and nobody really treats them as anything more than a cog in the wheel. Wherever you are in your life, whoever you're being asked to be one more time, that perfect supportive sibling or friend, we're here to help you figure this out so you can be the light of Christ in the world without your life being snuffed out by everybody else's demands. Let's help you out today. 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, it's reasonable to ask, you know, how could some, you know, highfalutin theology help me deal with this whole question about being generous and setting boundaries and whatever? The fact is, it's tremendously helpful because St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a really important question, kind of a huge question, really. He said, you know, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history even, what universal principles could we discern about leading a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that we're made in the image of a God who is a communion of three distinct persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit give themselves completely to one another. But each person remains fully himself. We're called to live that same dynamic in our relationships, learning to be fully generous and pursue real closeness without losing who we are. A lot of Christians think that generosity means you never close the door for any reason. But that's not generosity. That's self-erasure. God didn't create us to disappear.
That was a news flash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Pope Benedict actually talked about this in when he wrote Deus Caritas Est, God is Love. He wrote that Christians really need to learn the difference between love and sentimentality. You see, sentimentality says yes because we feel bad, or we're afraid, or we feel pressured. But authentic Christian love isn't driven by what we happen to feel in the moment. It's driven by a commitment to work for the ultimate good of the other person and to make our relationships healthier and holier. If being generous in some way would make you feel unwell or prevent you from fulfilling the primary responsibilities God's given you, or even capitulate to someone being their worst self or make a relationship less healthy or holy, then saying no is the more loving thing to do. And, you know, if you're not sure, then that's a conversation worth having before you commit either way.
And if you've been feeling used up or resentful, that's not a sign that you're a bad Christian. It just might be the voice of the Holy Spirit asking you to check in and see if the service you're giving to others is really helping you, the other person, and your relationships with God and what he wants them to be.
Here's a tip. You know, a good way to be generous without erasing yourself is the qualified yes technique. Instead of feeling pressure to say yes or no to a request right away, prayerfully reflect on the question, how could I be helpful in a way that allows me to meet my needs too? Then propose that. That's not selfish. That's actually Trinitarian love in action, like we were talking about earlier in this reflection. So look, let's unpack this today on More to Life. This all sounds great in theory, but what about in that situation where you are feeling taken advantage of, a little resentful, burned out, where you're feeling like you are obliged to be generous in some way that is causing you to feel a little resentful and maybe feel guilty about that, but you're not quite sure what to do? 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you tired of being that person that everybody comes to when they need something, but no one really thinks about when you need something? Maybe the people in your life expect you to always say yes and then act hurt or angry when you can't. Maybe you feel like someone is taking advantage of you in some way, or you struggle with guilt when you feel like saying no, even when it might very well be the right thing to do. If you've been led to believe that being a good Christian means always being available, always giving, always sacrificing. We want to help you discover how to be as generous as God wants us to be without falling into resentment or promoting unhealthy behavior in yourself or others. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for all the gifts you've given us and all the ways that we can use those gifts to be a blessing to others. We're grateful for the opportunity to be generous, but Lord, help us to learn how to be generous in ways that are truly life-giving to us, to others, to our relationships. Help us to learn the difference between sentimentality and true love, and to give from a healthy and holy place and not from a sense of pressure or fear or obligation. Help us to know how to be generous to others in ways that really work for our ultimate good, for theirs, and for healthier, holier relationships, and to have the courage to say no to those things that would jeopardize our well-being, the best in others, or healthy, holy relationships, so that in our yeses and in our noes, we can be building your kingdom in all things. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And, you know, during that prayer, I referenced the scripture where Jesus talks about saying, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. We are allowed to say no, but it has to be based on something, and that's what we're really talking about today. You know, what are those healthy limits on generosity? How can we be fully generous to others, but in a way that's actually good for us, for them, and for our relationships? 877-573-7825. Let's talk it out.
We have a question that came in here from Sarah, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network. And she writes, I have a friend who went through a rough divorce about 2 years ago, and I've tried to be there for her. But being there has turned into two-hour phone calls almost every night, constant texts during my workday, and plans that always revolve around what she needs. Anytime I suggest she talk to a counselor, she says, I'm the only one who understands. I've started avoiding her calls, but then I feel terribly guilty about it. My husband says I'm letting her take over our life, and he's not wrong. I want to be a good friend, but I don't know where the line is. How do I pull back without abandoning someone who's hurting so much? And that's Sarah in Texas.
That's a great question, Sarah. And I want to thank you for wanting to be such a good friend to your friend. But it comes down to knowing what we can do and what we can't do. Because sometimes a person will try to put us in the position of needing to be all things to them, or at least all things in a particular area. You know, she's comfortable talking to you, which is a good thing. But you're not a counselor, and you can't pretend to be one.
Nor are you the husband that she wishes she had. You know, it sounds to me that because you are good friends and you're close, she went from a difficult marriage that ended in divorce and filling all those emotional needs with you, her great friend who's always there for her. And that's not healthy for her. It's certainly not good for you or your marriage either.
And this is the thing. You know, so this is an example of how being asked to be generous in this way is actually not serving her or you, and therefore isn't the healthy or holy thing to do. Because it's asking you to pretend to be something that you can't be. In a sense, it's a lie, right? She's saying, well, we can pretend that you're my counselor. And you're saying, well, okay. You know, and you're not doing that consciously, you're not doing that intentionally, but that's just the position you've been put in, and it feels awkward to back out of it because it feels like you're not being Christian by being there for you. But if, you know, if she had cancer and she was saying, well, I don't need to go to the oncologist, you're the only one who really understands what I'm going through, you would say, I love you, but you're crazy. Go to the doctor.
You have to go to the doctor. Right? I can't cure you.
I can't pretend to be something that I'm not. And in the same thing here, you cannot pretend to be a professional counselor. Because counseling is not just talking to somebody who's sympathetic. Counseling involves giving tools and
helping the person grow and learn new skills and heal. And that's not something any of us as friends can just do right off the bat. You're giving her a chance to vent. you're not really giving her a chance to heal and grow at all.
So the authentically generous thing to do in this situation is to put boundaries around both the kind of advice that you're able to give and the kind of support you're able to give, and boundaries around when you're able to give that support.
Now, one of the other things that's a real exclamation point here for me as I read your question here, Sarah, is the fact that your husband's telling you that this is too much and that it's taking over your life together. Please, cautionary tale here, you're helping your friend get over a divorce. If you are in a Catholic sacramental marriage, that is your calling. And if your husband is saying, hey, wait a minute, this is 2 hours a night or whatever it is, and I guarantee you it's more than that, because you're going to have the conversation with her, then you're going to go and replay it with your husband and work through it, and it's taking up all of your time where you should be building your life as a couple, as a married couple who deserve each other's best.
So it's perfectly okay to say to her, hey, look, I've wanted to be able to be here for you through the crisis, and I want to continue to be here to support you. But as things kind of go on, I'm only able to talk to you, for instance, on Wednesdays at this time for about an hour or so.
Yeah, you pick the date, the time, and the appropriate
the duration,
length.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then whenever she says something to you that really you think warrants a counselor, because she's asking you for advice that you don't feel qualified to give, or she's spinning out in ways that you think indicate that she would need professional help, that's where you say to her, look, I love you, I can pray with you, I can talk with you, but I can't really help you with this. This is what a counselor is for. And I found these people in your area, or here's CatholicCounselors.com you can turn to. I really need you to go reach out to them about that, because this is not something that I can help you with. And there's a chance that she'll get upset with you. There's a chance that she'll say, well, some friend you turned out to be and cut you off, or she might get hurt. And at that point, what you just have to keep reaffirming that I am here for you and I do support you, but I can only be here in ways that I'm qualified to be here. You can even use the metaphor I just used with you. You know, you consider if you had cancer and you were saying to me, I'm the only one who understands, I would say, that's great, but please go to the oncologist. There are certain things that you need that I can't give you. And so I can be here for you, I can pray for you, I can talk with you to some degree, but I can't ultimately help you get what you need. That's what a counselor's for, and that's why I'm sending you there. Not because I don't want to be here for you, but because I want to be here for you in a way that actually works. Right? If you need more support, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show through CatholicCounselors.com, and please don't hesitate to give that resource to your friend. Our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, would also be helpful, because it talks about how to set boundaries in ways that are healthy, that still allow us to be generous to others, but in ways that are actually helpful. So give us a call. 877-573-7825 is the number, folks, with your questions about those times when you're feeling taken advantage of by somebody, those times when you're feeling like you're there for them, but they can't be there for you in the same way, those times when you feel guilty saying no and you're not quite sure what the right answer is. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you sort out how to be generous in ways that are actually good for you and for your relationships. More to Life will continue with your questions. Coming up after the break, we'll also be joined by Jacob Flores-Popchak, who is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's going to be sharing some insights about ways to be more assertive. In fact, four things that help us be effectively assertive. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Renero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the Church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House. Our luxurious celebrity cruise liner awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, sorry, we're closed. We're talking about those times when we feel taken advantage of. How do we set the boundaries that allow us to be generous, but stop being used? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on the practical applications of the theology of the body and also a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here.
So you wanted to talk about four ways that we can be assertive, or four things that kind of components of assertiveness that you teach your clients.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, we can mean different things when we say assertive. And so many of my clients, the second I say that they need to be more assertive, they sort of fill in the blank, and they think I'm meaning that they need to be aggressive with other people, right? Because most of us think in kind of a false black and white binary between I either have to be passive, that means I have to let everybody get away with whatever they want and just sometimes sort of make passive-aggressive comments under my breath, or I have to be actively aggressive, right, where I'm yelling at them, I'm scolding them, I'm trying to convince them of my need and the legitimacy of it, or of my point and my perspective, whatever it may be. But actual assertiveness isn't even the happy middle ground between those things. Actual assertiveness is the healthy alternative to both of those things. It's a completely third thing, totally off the spectrum between passivity and aggression. Because assertiveness is really about four central components. It's about being friendly. It's about being firm. It's about being calm. And it's about being brief. Let me kind of briefly break down each of those things, right? So assertiveness is friendly. We often think that we've got to kind of puff ourselves up like an animal going into defense mode in order to get a point, our point across, when we need to be aggressive. And assertiveness is just the opposite of that. It's very friendly. And specifically, assertiveness really positions you to present yourself as being on the side of the person towards whom you're being assertive, right? I'm on your side and I want the best for you. I'm on your side and, you know, it's not me versus you in this tug of war. We're on the same side together. And it's just sort of representing that in the posture that you take and the tone that you use and the words that you say, right? You're not painting yourself as their antagonist, nor are you sort of putting out that you view them as your antagonist, right? We're on the same side together. Friendly. Firm. I'm not asking you. I don't say things like, would you mind stopping doing that? I just say, please stop doing that. Right? I don't say, you know, oh, please, you know, don't ever think about doing stuff like that again in the future. I'm telling you right now in the moment, please don't do that right now. Right? It is firm. I'm presenting it as a non-negotiable inevitability. Calm, right? Calm's a big one. We often think of calm as just being the absence of intensity. And we often think of getting my way or getting my point across as requiring intensity. But in fact, getting my point across requires calm, and calm is more than just the absence of intensity. Calm is really more like relaxed, casual. Hey, I don't need to fight you because I'm already sure that my way is going to happen here, right? So I can sort of lean back in my chair and I can shrug and I can just be like, yeah, we're not doing that thing. That thing that I'm saying we're not doing, we're not doing it, right? Very calm, very relaxed, very chill, right?
In fact, that has real authority to it. I mean,
it does, because yeah, exactly. You can tell you don't have any angst about it. There's nothing to manipulate in that.
Right, exactly. When I put up too much of a fight, right, Shakespeare in Hamlet, you know, he has Claudius say, the lady doth protest too much, methinks, right? And that quote goes to say, like, when we're really putting up a big fight, when we're really protesting, it almost seems like we're not serious, like this is negotiable. But that kind of calm, chill, laid back in my chair, nope, we're not doing that. It, you know, shows that this really isn't up for debate. And then finally, brief. I think brief is the biggest one, ironically, since I'm taking so long to get to it, right? But brief is really about, let me just say the thing in a single sentence, right? I don't need to convince this other person or make a 12-point, you know, a PowerPoint presentation to them in order to convince them of the thing, because they don't actually have to agree with it. I'm just telling them it's going to happen. Right. If I can exist in friendly, firm, common brief, treating my boundaries as just an inevitability that aren't up for debate, then suddenly people will start to respond to that very, very differently, because I'm not sending them signals with my own intensity that tells them that this is negotiable.
Friendly, firm, calm, and brief, the four hallmarks of effective assertiveness. Jacob, thank you so much for your time today. And if folks would like to learn more about how to be assertive in healthy ways in all of your relationships, come visit us at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about Jacob's work and our whole team as well. All right, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825, the show titled Sorry, We're Closed, as we talk about how to set boundaries that allow us to stay generous but stop being used. Stick around, more after the break.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. St. John the Apostle records the John chapter 6 Bread of Life discourse, in which Jesus states that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. Who better to understand John's writings and subsequent teachings than a disciple and student of John, St. Ignatius of Antioch? In his letter to the Smyrnians in 110 AD, Ignatius writes, "I have no taste for corruptible food, nor for the pleasures of this life. I desire the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ. And for drink, I desire his blood, which is love incorruptible." The Catholic Church absolutely follows St. John and St. Ignatius in taking Jesus at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
What is the life of our heart? The Catholic Catechism answers, prayer is the life of the new heart. It ought to be the source of our animation at every moment, but we tend to forget the one who is our all. The fathers of the spiritual life in the Deuteronomic and prophetic tradition say that prayer is a remembrance of God often awakened by the memory of the heart. We are to remember God more often, says the Catechism, than we draw breath. We cannot, however, pray at all times if we have not learned to pray at specific times. The tradition of the Church proposes morning and evening prayer, grace before and after meals, the liturgy of the hours, Sundays centered on the Eucharist, the cycle of the liturgical year with its great feasts as the basic rhythms of the Christian's life of prayer. There are three major expressions of prayer: vocal, meditative, and contemplative. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Imagine being married to someone who regularly goes out of their way to make your life easier and more pleasant. Someone who's willing to make little sacrifices just to see you smile. It's as if this person said, "I do" to the marriage, not just on your wedding day, but every day. Relationship experts call these qualities emotional rapport and benevolence. Research by the Gottman Institute found that healthy couples maintain a 20-to-1 ratio of these sorts of positive interactions when they're not in conflict. Can you imagine how that might affect a marriage? According to Gottman, couples with high levels of emotional support and benevolence are more likely to give one another the benefit of the doubt when one of them accidentally offends the other. Such couples are better at avoiding conflict and handling it more gracefully when it occurs. High levels of benevolence lead to greater trust, too, and that in turn leads to greater intimacy and sharing. Thankfully, even couples who don't have high levels of benevolence and emotional rapport can cultivate it. It all starts with finding those little ways of saying, I do, every day. Get more tips for building a strong marriage in my book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or for more personal support, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
For joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, sorry, we're closed. We're talking about those times when we feel taken advantage of, and you just sort of want to turn that sign on the front door of your life from open to closed and just make everybody go away. The reality is, you know, we know that we're called to be generous, and honestly, we like, I think most people like to be generous to others. We like to take care of others.
It's actually very good for our mental health. Serving others has been proven to be very positive for our mental health, with the caveat of serving others in a healthy way, not being taken advantage of, trodden over, used, because we're not objects to be used. We're people to be loved.
Well, and that's also true for, you know, sometimes people can be generous to others in ways that are hurtful to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that person is doing something that's unhealthy or inappropriate in some way, and
then we end up supporting those unhealthy, inappropriate behaviors.
Exactly. So let's talk about how to be generous but not feel used or not be taken advantage of, or for that matter, not cause harm in the things that we're doing. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So are you struggling to be assertive in some way, to set some kind of limit, and someone's undermining your attempts to set those limits and to be in a healthier relationship with them? Let us help you out with it today. Give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to celebrate an EWTN radio affiliate, The Rock Catholic Radio, with three stations serving Cleveland and Northern Ohio, on the air for 11 years. Congratulations to Marianne Meaton and her team at The Rock from all of us here at EWTN Radio. And wherever you are tuning in to EWTN, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers and with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and all your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life.
Amen to that.
And again, thanks once again to The Rock Catholic Radio in Cleveland and Northern Ohio. 877-573-7825. We're talking about those times when we might feel taken advantage of or feel resentful, and maybe feel a little guilty about that. But how can we be generous in ways that are actually healthy, that don't cause us to burn out or do things that enable people in their unhealthy behaviors? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Louise, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California.
Louise, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hello. I wanted to thank you for the theme and actually to get the four hallmarks again, but I wanted to give the background, like what you're talking about. And when you were with your pastoral counsel, every word was resonating because this is like right happening to me now in these 4 weeks. Have an adult sibling.
Oh, okay. So what's going on?
Senior citizens. Yeah. So adult sister lives different time zone. She's well aware of my situation. Oh. I'm an in-home caregiver. My husband, and he's my priority. But these phone calls were getting so long, like that prior caller. And so I took an at-home retreat, which she knows I do once or twice a year, a spiritual at-home retreat. And I reflected, and I said, I just can't do these long phone calls anymore. But when I, after my retreat, I informed her and I said, but I can do the texting, messaging, and, you know, share a little picture of the, you know, beautiful flower, the grandkids or something. Anyway, she came back and said, I'm not doing texting anymore. I'm not, doesn't work for me. The texting, the phone calls don't work anymore. Only phone talk. And then I said,
now, is she saying that? I just want to be very clear before we, you know, kind of evaluate how to handle this with her. Is this because it's difficult for her, either physically, people with who have arthritis in their hands sometimes have a hard time with that, or visually, because she can't really see the screen? Or is this just, no, I don't like that. I like talking to you on the phone more.
Yeah, and I think she's gotten into like a paranoia over like text messaging or something, like there's some kind of betrayal. And she said because of AI, everything is tracked now. Anyway, so I just said, well, I responded and I said, phone talk can happen, but there's only one time for me. I have one morning a week when I'm out of the home, because whenever the phone talk, it's very agitating to my husband that I care for.
Okay.
So, understandably so. And so I do have one morning and I said, I'm available for like, you know, my time zone, 8:30 to like 9 o'clock on a particular morning of the week. She's retired. She's very free. Anyway, she said, that doesn't work. Okay. So we're like at an impasse, but you know what? I kind of feel free. I feel like she gave me the gift that I needed, actually.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, no, it's not an impasse at all. I mean, so you said, hey, here's a door you can walk through. And she said, nah, thanks. Okay.
She keeps closing doors. You know, she had all access to you, and now she's nervous about the whole AI thing. And I mean, what are you two talking about that could possibly, you know, be a problem, even if that was true? But that's fine. She's entitled to her thoughts and her feelings about anything. But then when you're saying, hey, this is when I can talk, and she knows that you are a caregiver, that your time is valuable to you and to your husband, and she's like, no, I can't get up early one morning a week because I'm retired. Well, she's told you in that moment how much she values these conversations, and she's the one who set the limit, not you.
So you used the qualified yes technique that I was talking about earlier in the program, where you said, hey, look, this is how I could be here for you. And then she said no to you. So that's really on her. What she's really saying is, well, you know, the help that I was asking for isn't really that important to me that I would be willing to sacrifice anything to get it. Okay, well, then I guess you don't really need to talk to me that much. I mean, you know, so you're still being generous, but you're giving her the option to accept or refuse the offer. You know, so that's what... That was fine. There was nothing wrong with that at all. You allowed you're being generous with you know, you said you've got like 1 hour, you know, once a week, when you don't have to be there to physically take care of your ailing husband.
And frankly, Louise, giving up that hour of quiet and a chance to be by yourself and do what you need to get done, and giving that up for another person who's saying they need you, but not enough to adjust to what your needs are
at all.
That's
really generous. I mean, it's really generous. And if for her to not accept that generosity, well, okay, that's fine. I mean, you don't have to be resentful about it. You don't have to be angry about it. It's like, well, I did the best I could. Then I guess you don't need my help. Yeah, that qualified yes technique really is freeing. Like you said, it just sets you free because this is what I can do. You said no. All right, I'm getting on with my life now. And you don't have to dither about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You just get on and do the stuff that God's given you to do, because that person doesn't need it as that so much that they're willing to accommodate the way you're able to accept or to offer the help. And that's perfectly fine. You know, again, going back to the reflection at the beginning of the show, the Father, we are made in God's image and likeness. And we kind of think about that in a sort of abstract kind of, well, isn't that nice? but very few people actually stop to think about what that really means, right? And part of what the theology of the body does is it unpacks that, you know. And St. John Paul pointed out, you know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are fully generous to each other, but they are three distinct persons. They are in full communion with each other, but they are still their own persons. And in the same way, we are called to be one, as Jesus and the Father are one. But we get to still be our own persons. And so how do we do that? Well, by doing this qualified yes thing. We say, hey, this is how I can be here for you. I want to be here for you. And here are all the ways I can do that. And ideally, the other person will say, awesome. Or they can say no. Either way is fine, because maybe that won't work for them. But then we don't have to worry about it anymore. We've done our bit to be one, to be in communion with that person, to be generous to that person, but still be ourselves.
And I think that the levity, the lightness in your voice when you say, I feel like she's kind of set me free, says it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's saying this was another way that you were pouring out and pouring out and pouring out of all your energy, and now you have a chance to just do what you're called to do, which is love and serve your husband, because that's your sacrament, and you're living the sacramentality by being his caregiver, and taking those stolen moments for yourself to be able to replenish yourself, have those spiritual moments of reflection, maybe get out for that half hour a week and breathe fresh air, and, you know, emotionally, spiritually speaking, and that's okay. And you know what? If you really want to keep the relationship up, maybe start writing letters, you know, and just write her an actual letter. Put all the news in there. Say, I'm really sorry we can't work out our time arrangement, but I love you, I miss you, bye. And
send
the letter.
Yeah,
you know, send a letter, send a card. But, you know, letters are more newsy. It's the way you're saying, hey, I'm trying to keep up with you. But it's not a weighted kind of thing. So if you're feeling like you don't want to lose the relationship, try that.
Last thing, you wanted to be reminded of the four points about four things that make assertiveness that Jacob was talking about in his segment, and it's friendly, firm, calm, and brief. Friendly, firm, calm, and brief. Those are the four marks of an assertive person.
It's the calm and brief most of us struggle with a little bit. So just write those down and keep it on, you know, a post-it note to remind yourself of how you can do this effectively.
Friendly, firm, calm, brief. We got to go to break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, and that comes to us from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12.
The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty.
This might seem like a funny scripture to pick for a show on generosity or setting boundaries, but I picked it because very often we see that the way we're trying to be loving or generous to another person isn't working. For us, or for them, or for the relationship. We become resentful. We see the person getting unhealthy or behaving poorly. We see the relationship becoming weighted with resentment and frustration and a lack of fulfillment. But we keep doing it over and over and over again because a Christian has to be generous in this particular way. We never can close the door. We can never set boundaries. That is not what Christianity teaches. And the author of Proverbs here reminds us, if we are seeing bad fruit in our own life, in the life of another person, in the relationship, because of the way we're being generous, it's prudent to take note and to adjust our course. 877-573-7825. When we come back from the break, we're taking your calls about this whole idea of being taken advantage of. You know, how can we be generous in ways that allow us to be, you know, fully present to other people, but stop being used, stop doing things that hurt them or enable them to hurt themselves, or stop tearing apart our relationships? 877-573-7825. More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Corda offers Catholic candles that translate the lives of the saints into scents. There are candles for the Holy Family, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Therese of Lisieux, Padre Pio, and more. And they come boxed with the story behind the scent. Corda is a Catholic small business run by a husband and wife team, and each coconut wax candle is handcrafted. More information can be found at cordacandles.com. That's CORDA candles.com.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled, Sorry, We're Closed. As we talk about those times when we just feel like we're being taken advantage of and we want to shut the door, but maybe feel a little guilty to do that, how can we be generous to others in ways that actually work for us, for them, for our relationships? 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Kayla, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hi, Kayla. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Hi. Good morning. How are you? I find that I've become a caretaker to my elderly father, who's 80, and my mother passed about 2 years ago. And yesterday, for Mother's Day, I have two young children. I just found myself catering to my caretaking side and dealing with the day. And then before I knew it, my Mother's Day was gone. I was tired. And I know caretakers have a huge burden, but we have to set boundaries.
You do.
So what happens when you think about setting those boundaries?
I feel as if it's my obligation as an offspring to take care of the elderly. I also feel like because my mom died of a sudden aneurysm, I didn't have a chance to really say goodbye, that at least I can do that for my father instead of my mother. But I'm feeling like I'm taking this to the point of, like, sacrificing my own personal.
Let me validate what's good about what you're doing, and then let's talk about it. So, I mean, yes, we do have an obligation to be there for our parents, and it is good to be able to take care of our elderly parents. That is all true. And you are doing a very generous thing by being present and a virtuous thing. Now, here's, though, where I think it can get a little bit messy. If you just sit for a second with it, don't answer right away, all right, but just sit with a second, maybe just offer up a little quick prayer here. Do you feel like there's any part of you that is afraid that if you aren't a perfect and all-present caregiver to your dad, that there's a part of you that's afraid you won't get the love that you're looking for or the approval that you're looking for from either your dad or from your deceased mom?
Perhaps that's what is underlying. I am okay. an only offspring, so I think that plays
yeah.
in.
Well, and that may or may not be true. I want you to sit with that, yeah. You know. And if there's any part of that that's the case, that part would be undermining your ability to be generous to your dad in a healthy way, because you know, like we were saying earlier, being generous doesn't mean that we can be all things to a person. You know, you're his caregiver. You're not a genie that, you know, he can kind of rub the lamp and then Kayla appears to take care of things, right? And but what makes us feel like we have to be often is that part of us that feels like not just that I want to be there for the person, but I'm afraid that if I'm not, then I'm going to fail or not get the love that I'm looking for or the approval that I'm looking for. And it's possible for us to serve for love instead of from love. And when we serve for love, what that means is there's kind of an unconscious price tag on what I'm doing for you. I'm doing these things in the hopes of getting something back from you. And I may not get it. And if I don't get it, then I might become resentful or depressed or hurt in some other way. Or it may even cause resentment toward you or other feelings that complicate the relationship. I'm not able to really be generous in an authentic and healthy way. And so I'd like, if there's any part of you that thinks that might be going on, I need you to kind of sit down and have a conversation with that part. And you're gonna feel a little silly doing this at first. But when you have a prayer time, in fact, I'd encourage you to go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, okay? And I'd ask you to imagine that little girl part of you that feels like, I just want to be the perfect daughter so that I can finally get the love or approval I'm dying for, either from my dad or from mom or from both. And I want you to imagine that part sitting next to you in the pew. And I want you to bring her to the Lord. And I want you to just have a conversation between God and this part of you that says, you know, she's really afraid that if she's not perfect, if she doesn't do all the things, if she's not always present to dad, that she's not going to get the love that she's longing for. And I would like you to give her to God and say, will you please help her feel how beautiful she is to you, and help her know that she is a beautiful and beloved daughter, and that and to help her stop having to jump through hoops to get dad and mom to love her the way she wants to be loved. And instead, to allow me then to be generous to my dad in ways that are healthy for me and for him, so that I'm working from love, from the love that you give to her and place in my heart, instead of working for love from people who might never be able to give it to me the way I want to. Now, that's a very hard conversation to have, and again, you might feel a little silly doing it, but if you do it, and I, like I said, ideally do this in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but if you can't, then even doing it during your prayer time at home, just sitting and imagining that little girl sitting next to you, talking to God, and having this conversation, and if you didn't get it all down, it's okay, just download the podcast later and listen to it again, and you know, use this conversation as a guide through that discussion. But the whole point there is that part of you is trying to be always present to the point of erasing yourself in the hopes that she'll get something out of it. And that's really undermining your ability to be generous in healthy and authentic ways.
And very often, the evil one can really use our own wounds to cause us more multi-generational wounds. So when you go through this conversation with God about this, ask him also to rightly order your relationship with your two young children that you mentioned. Because one of the most wonderful, healing, freeing things we can do is to have this kind of prayerful conversation with God and then ask him, okay, how do you want me to be parenting right now? Not out of a place of, oh my gosh, I want to make sure that I don't do the same thing to them that happened to me, but a place of saying, okay, I know that I want my children to feel loved. I want to put them in their primary places, my children, and be able to form them, share God with them, be able to have a grace-filled relationship with them, and ask God then, all right, as you're healing this part of me, Lord, how can I now be the healthy, God-centered mom that you want me to be for the gift of these two kids in my life? So you're really making sure that you're not passing on different wounds, neglecting, and I'm not saying you are, but neglecting the rich relationship you could have with them, not just the things you have to do for them physically.
Well, and again, neither of us is saying that you are doing this.
But there's things we can all fall into.
Well, and this is one of them, right? And I'm just going to, because, you know, as you are in the position of trying to, this letting this part of you try to get all that love from dad, you know, by being there all the time, your kids may unconsciously get the message that they're not as important to mom as they feel like they need to be. And then that wound gets passed on by you trying to do a good thing for your dad. And that's how the devil works. So that's why it's so important to heal that hurting part of you so that you can be authentically generous to your dad in a way that's healthy for you, healthy for him, healthy for your kids and all of your relationships in a way that allows you to be balanced. If you find that you're not able to have the conversation with that inner child part that I'm talking about, or it's not as effective as you'd like it to be, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you kind of heal either that wound or whatever is getting in the way. But we certainly do want you to be able to be there for your dad, but just in a way that works for you and for your family. Thanks so much for giving us a call today. If there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And it goes for you listeners as well. Look, being generous is a good thing. Nobody's denying that. And we should all be as generous as we possibly can be. But we need to be able to do it in a way that's healthy for us, that's healthy for the person we're serving, healthy for our relationship. And very often, the way we are generous to others isn't any of those things. And if you are hearing yourself in this conversation today and looking for ways to be generous but do it in a healthy way, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. Let us help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. Again, that's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.